Good morning. And it's an honor for me to be here at Good Tidings. Now, I've heard a lot of good tidings about good tidings. And then when you come and experience the goodness of the tidings, it's really a different story. And I know when I go back, I'll have a lot of good tidings about good tidings. So I just want to show my appreciation for being here and tell you how much I appreciate all the love I've received thus far. This morning I want to speak to us about God's marvelous grace. God's marvelous grace. And I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 9. Second Samuel chapter 9. And David said, "Is there any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show kindness, the kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet." And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel in Lodebar." Then the king sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel from Lodebar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did a reverence. And David said, "Mephibosheth," and he answered, "Behold thy servant." And David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." And he bowed himself and said, "What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, "I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said unto the king, "According to all that my lord, the Lord, the king had commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do." "As for Mephibosheth," said the king, "he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons." And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. Father, we pray this morning that you would speak to us, God. We pray, oh God, that your word would go forth with power and your word would bring transformation to hearts and lives this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now this is a story of God's marvelous grace. This story depicts God's marvelous grace. Grace is often described as God's unmerited favor. God giving us what we don't deserve. Another person puts it that grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. And I like Dr. Tony Evans's definition. He said, grace is the inexhaustible supply of God's favor, our goodness, of God doing for us what we could not do for ourselves, what we do not deserve, what we could not earn, and what we could never repay. Now, years before Jonathan's death, David had covenanted with him that when he ascends to the throne, that he would show kindness because of him. And now that David had gotten to the throne, now that he had subdued all the adversaries of Israel, David turned to one of his servants and he said, is there anybody from the house of Saul that I may show kindness to for the sake of Jonathan? And one of his servants, Ziba, told him of Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth, who was crippled and who was living in a place called Lodebar. And David sent for him, and David restored to him all the possessions of his grandfather Saul. And we read that he sat at the king's table and he ate at the king's table continually. This is a picture of the grace of God, God's marvelous grace. And there are a number of things I want us to look at this morning as it relates to the grace of God, God's marvelous grace. And the first thing I want us to get is that grace reaches and pursues us in our lowest of lows despite our unworthiness. Grace reaches and pursues us in our lowest of lows despite our unworthiness. Now, Mephibosheth, he was a fugitive, and he was living in a place called Lodebar, which means desolate, which means pasture, which means desert. He was in a very poor, miserable, and helpless condition. He was in that state when David reached out to him. He was unworthy of David's attention. He was unworthy of David's favor. As a matter of fact, the name Mephibosheth means shameful. He was also the king's enemy. Because by custom, normally he would have been killed. He deserved death. As a son of Jonathan, Mephibosheth was a member of Saul's family. And that family is considered then to be the rejected family. And he, by right, was living under condemnation. He was the son of a prince, yet he was living in dependence on others far away from Jerusalem. And like Isaiah declares in Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6, he says that we as humans, we are as an unclean thing. Romans declares that we are enemies of God. We as humans were under God's condemnation. We deserved death. Because the word of God says that we all were born in sin and shaped iniquity. And the word of God declares that the wages of sin is death. We living in the world, depending on the world, but the world was like is like a desert. The world cannot quench. The world cannot quench our thirst. The world cannot satisfy our hunger. So in a sense, we were like Mephibosheth. The word of God also declares in Ephesians chapter 2 that we once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and mind. And we were by nature the children of wrath, just like the rest of mankind. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love towards us, what he did, he says, even when we were dead, God has quickened us. And he has raised us together with Christ. But God demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were still in our sins, Christ Jesus, he died for us. While we were his enemies, Christ reconciled us to God. In grace, he reached out to us when we didn't deserve it. In grace, he is still reaching out to every human, although we are undeserving of such love. Mephibosheth, in verse 8, he asked the question, what is your servant that you should show regard to such a dead dog as I? That's how Mephibosheth saw himself. And this mirrors the words of the psalmist in Psalm chapter 8 verse 4. When he asks, what is man that thou art mindful of him? We are not just totally hopeless and crippled in our sin, but we are unworthy to have any contact with Jesus Christ. We are infinitely unworthy, but in his grace, he offers us a seat at his table. What marvelous grace. Mephibosheth became lame and paralyzed through a fall. If you go back to 2 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 4. On hearing on the death of Saul and Jonathan, his nurse picked him up and tried to run with him, tried to escape with him. And in her quest to escape, Mephibosheth fell from her hands and he became paralyzed. And so, we also became paralyzed by sin because of the fall of Adam and Eve. And Mephibosheth, he was received in all of his deformity by David. And so God welcomes us. God receives us with all our sin deformity. We don't have to clean up. He accepts us just as we are. God's grace reaches out to us in all our deformity. What marvelous grace. When David asked, is there anyone of the house of Saul that I may show kindness to? David wanted to show kindness to whomever deserved it. Not because they deserve it. Not because they could have earned it. And observe something. that when David asked the question, David did not put any qualifiers. David did not say, is there anybody who is worthy of my kindness? Is there anybody who is deserving of such kindness? David did not ask such a question. But David pursued. David reached out to Mephibosheth. Regardless of whether or not Mephibosheth was deserving of it, David reached out to him. And this morning, sometimes in our mess, sometimes in our sin, we think that we are undeserving of God's love. Sometimes we think that we are unworthy. But when God extends his grace to us, God is saying, it doesn't matter if you are worthy. It doesn't matter if you are deserving. Grace is extended to you and to me. What marvelous grace. And do you know what was amazing? Is that Mephibosheth wasn't looking for this favor or this act of kindness. It was the king who went and pursued Mephibosheth. It was the king who sought him and pursued him and lavished his kindness upon him. And that is what God does for you and for me. That God is the one who pursues us. God is the one who pursues us through Jesus Christ. The Bible declares that the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. God pursues us despite our unworthiness. God reaches out to us despite the fact that we are undeserving of such. And if we go back to the book of Genesis, when Adam and Eve sinned, it was not Adam and Eve who went to God. God came and looked, and God pursued them. In Genesis also, God pursued Abraham. In a story with Moses, God is the one who pursued Moses. When Zacchaeus, Jesus came into the city, and Zacchaeus was up in his, Jesus is the one who pursued Zacchaeus despite his character, despite his reputation. And that is the God we serve. That is the God that we serve. Grace, like in the case of Mephibosheth, reaches us in the worst of conditions, in our lowest of lows. It doesn't matter how messed up we are by sin or how wrecked we are by our sinful choices. God's grace reaches out to us. God is reaching out to all of us. God is reaching out to you in grace this morning. God's grace reaches down into the pit of hell and rescues us and reaches to that man or woman who is under or in the clutches of the enemy. And many of us here this morning, we can testify that we too once followed the prince of this world, that we were children of darkness, that sin had a hold on us, that we were on the train to hell. But God, who is rich in mercy, but God, who is full of grace, reached out and pursued us despite our unworthiness. And this morning, we are joined and asked, where would we be if not for the grace of God this morning? And the song, that hymn that says, oh, the love that sought me, oh, the blood that bought me, oh, the grace that brought me to the fold, wondrous grace that brought me to the fold. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord. Grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's Mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will, that is greater than all our sin. There's another song that says, grace will always be greater than sin. Calvary has proven time again and again. No matter what you've done, no matter what you have been, where you've been, grace will always be greater than sin. His grace is sufficient to save the worst of sinners. And the song says, the vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. What marvelous grace this morning. The second thing is that grace opens the door for redemption and restoration. Grace opens the door for redemption and restoration. Now, when the king's men came to Mephibosheth and they told him that the king had summoned him, one could imagine the fear that might have taken hold of Mephibosheth. Was it not enough that he was hiding, that he was here in exile, in that remote desert place? But now he was no longer safe. But what Mephibosheth didn't realize is that the thing that would bring him out of hiding was grace and not harm. He didn't realize that he was going to experience absolute grace from the very thing that he feared most, and that is the hands of the king. Instead of death, he received new life in a way that he had not known since childhood. At last, he would be able to sit at the king's table once again and enjoy all the benefits of being heir of a king. No more would he have to live in Lodabar. And King David even restored the lands that belonged to his grandfather Saul. And observe something. David didn't just accept Mephibosheth as a friend. David accepted him as a son. What a picture of grace. David did for Mephibosheth what he could not do for himself. And this is a beautiful picture of God's grace when we simply come to him, when he summons us out of our Lodabar. Mephibosheth is a wonderful example of redemption available to all who humbly come to Jesus Christ. Jesus is the King of Kings who offers one and all a chance to eat at the king's table. No matter what we've done, no matter where we've been, no matter how we may have been shamed or rejected, no matter how handicapped or hurt we might be, no matter whether we are young or old or black or white, we are offered inheritance of royalty. We who were once condemned to die have had the curse removed from us and have been given life and life more abundantly. We have been grafted into the family of God, and we are now sons and daughters when we respond to that call out of Lodabar. That is redemption. If he gave us our rightful inheritance, if he gives our rightful inheritance, we would all go to hell. But in his grace, he has chosen to share with us his inheritance, and we are now joint heirs with Christ as long as we respond to that call. Because of his grace, we have been redeemed. We have been set free from the chains, and we can boldly declare that there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And that grace is available to everyone who would respond to that call. We can sing as long as we respond to that call. And many of us who have experienced that call, that grace, we can sing, "My chains are gone. I have been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, his mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace." What marvelous grace this morning. And the third thing about grace I want us to look at is that grace repositions. Grace repositions. From living in Lodebar, a desert, a place of desolation, a place of barrenness, a place of unfruitfulness, a place of no hope, a place where he had all his possessions taken, he had lost his possession, a place where he had no prestige, a place where he had lost his respectability, a place where he had lost his credibility. Because of the king's grace, Mephibosheth was repositioned to the king's table. And positioned to the king's table, repositioned to the king's table, where we read that he ate continually. He was repositioned to the king's table where all of his needs would be supplied until he died. He was repositioned from a place of fear and anxiety to a place of calm and confidence about his future. He was repositioned from a place of barrenness to a place of honor. He was repositioned from a place of pasture land to a place of plenty and all the king's resources available to him. David's servant Ziba and his family were even instructed to work the lands that were given back to Mephibosheth. And when we respond to that call from the King of Kings to come out of our Lodebar, when we hear the call of Jesus Christ, when we respond to the call of Jesus Christ to come out of our sins, we now move from a people who are destined for God's wrath, from a people who are dead in our trespasses and our sins. What happens now, if you read the book of Ephesians, it says, God has raised us up, and we are now seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And Ephesians says that we are seated there that he might show us his immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. A place where we cannot exhaust his bountiful supply of grace. A place where we can never exceed his provision. A place where he gives more grace when the burdens go greater. A place where he gives, where his grace has no measure. A place where out of his inexhaustible supply of grace, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. A place where God supplies all our needs according to his riches in glory. At this place here, Ephesians tells us that we are blessed with every spiritual blessing. Seated with Christ, we are no longer strangers, we are no longer aliens, but we are saints and members of the household of God. We are now living in his presence where there is fullness of joy, and at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. What wonderful grace. What marvelous grace. Now when Mephibosheth sits at the king's table, nobody sees his feet. Nobody sees his deformity. Grace clothes us in the righteousness of Christ. And when God looks at us, he doesn't see our deformity, our sin deformity, but he sees the righteousness of Christ. That is what grace does for us when we respond to that call. What marvelous grace this morning. Now as I conclude, the day Mephibosheth found grace, it changed everything. It changed everything for him. And there's a song by Sinat. It says, from darkness to light, from death into life, his grace changes everything. From broken to whole, stained to whiter than snow, his grace changes everything. His grace changes everything. There is no sin too great. There is no pain too deep. The cross declares it is done. There is no shame too real, for that his love won't heal. Forever the victory is won. He has broken the chains. He has conquered the grave. His grace changes everything. And by the power of his blood, we are daughters and sons. His grace changes everything. His grace changes everything. Now this morning, the king can call you out of Lodebar. But if you never come, you will remain in Lodebar. You remain in that place of barrenness. You remain in that place of unfruitfulness. You remain in that place where there is no hope, that place of hopelessness. But what God wants you to do this morning or this afternoon is like Mephibosheth, you have to be willing to forfeit your Lodebar. You have to be willing this morning to leave that life behind and respond to the king. He's offering that grace. That grace is available. Whether you feel worthy, whether you feel deserving, it doesn't matter how messed up you are. It doesn't matter how much sin might have crushed. It doesn't matter your character or your reputation. God is offering his marvelous grace to all. And he's saying, respond. He's saying, like Mephibosheth, you might consider yourself a dead dog, but come and eat at the king's table. Come and enjoy his presence forevermore. God has something better to offer all who would respond to his call. And for those of us who have responded to his call and have experienced such marvelous grace, there's a song that says, love like this, or grace like this, demands our hearts, our lives, our all. We were so unworthy of such love. Things could have been worse. We could have been damned and sentenced to hell forever. But for the grace of God this morning. And this morning, let us rejoice. Because God is a gracious God. Let us rejoice this morning. Let us, this morning, if you have not yet trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, He's offering you this grace. This grace is available to you. You don't have to be ashamed. You don't have to be afraid. Just respond. God loves you. God cares about you. God wants the best for all of us. And He, though we are unworthy, though we are undeserving, He is willing to lavish His kindness in abundance on all of us. What wonderful grace this morning. What marvelous grace this morning. And I pray this morning that each one of us will rejoice because we have this grace available. But more importantly, if you have not yet trusted Jesus Christ, that you respond to His grace this morning. May God bless us for His name's sake.